It's WMFO, 10 a.m. right here. Just heard, as I said, a track from Lovina Falls, who was here for Live Day. I was just down the hall in Studio D. That was about the sun. All right, my guest here is here. His name is Dave Harrison. He's working on getting some tickets on his phone, so I don't know if I can talk to you yet. What do you think, Dave?
We can talk. I can multitask.
All right. I'll even turn your mic on just because of that.
Hey, how about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can multitask. No worries.
All right. This is the first time you've been here with me. However, you've certainly been at WMFO before. And
A couple of times.
And we've been trying to do this for a while. And you've got a kind of a rich history here. In Boston. Now, I don't know much about you at all, so we're going to find out right now.
All right, cool.
So, were you born here?
No, I was born in New York.
All right. I won't hold that against you.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, whereabouts in New York?
I was born in New York City.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And when did you realize that you wanted to be a musician? You just couldn't imagine doing anything else. Did you take, like, lessons when you were in school?
You know, I was in band in school. But
yeah, me too.
But I was, when I was a kid, I never thought that I could, you know, be in a band or anything like that. It's when I came to town and got my first exposure to, you know, local rock bands, and I thought, oh my God, I could do that.
Did you come here for school?
Yeah, I came to school.
And
yeah.
So no musical stuff really going on in New York? You just came here?
Well, I grew up on the South Shore. So I was born in New York. My parents divorced, and then I was growing up in Brockton. So that was that. I came to town and even before I graduated high school, I'd come into town see shows. They were these all-ages shows at the Channel on Sundays.
Yeah, that Channel, huh? I miss that place.
And saw the Neighborhoods, saw, you know, these amazing bands, got this crazy idea that maybe I could, like, learn to play guitar and rock out. And then a couple of years of college was like, no, I dropped out of school, just changed my whole life and started, you know, getting into the rock and roll.
So did you first pick up a guitar or do you play something else as well?
Guitar. Yeah.
Yeah. And did it happen when you were in Brockton going to see the shows?
No. It was later.
All right.
Yeah.
And, what?
So I started late. You know, I'm a late bloomer.
Yeah. I could say the same about me. So, what band or bands did you see that you were looking at the guy playing guitar and you're like, yeah, I want that to be me?
You know, I don't know if I can name a particular.
That's all right.
Band, but it was just like the whole idea. You know, I mean, before punk rock, rock stars were like, you know, unattainable, you know, unreal, unhuman, you know.
Interesting other, you say it that way.
Other words. And then, you know, punk rock was such a, you know, a street thing that, you know, it was, you know, yeah, my buddy over here, he can't really play guitar, but he wants to rock out and it sounds great and we're doing it, you know.
So you saw yourself in punk and also your friends sort of.
Started making friends with, you know, guys at the shows and the bands and stuff, yeah, and you know, everyone was super cool and you know, it was good, you know. Well, maybe not everyone was super cool, but
right. it's hard to keep up with you, you know.
Yeah. No, I mean more likely I managed to not get my ass kicked, but it was life changing, you know. That time, I mean, anyone who was alive in that time, and it wasn't just Boston either; it was everywhere. At that time, every city had a rat. Or CBGBs, you know, every city had local bands. It was a time that, you know, kids could really, you know, become what they wanted to, you know, become what you wanted to be, I guess. You know?
I mean, it was special here in Boston, as you know. So Channel, Rat, you started going to the Rat.
Yeah.
And who did you see there that you and your friends went to see back then?
Oh, well, Del Fuego's, loved, you know, the Dogmatics, the Prime Movers.
A lot of them are still around.
Amazing, huh?
Right.
Used to love the Sex Execs.
Yeah, You're My Ex.
Yeah. You know, so many bands. There was just so many bands. Love the Neats, Scruffy, all the Rat bands.
Yeah. So what was the first exposure you had to being in a band?
So I started, you know, fooling around. We're on the air.
Very good.
I just started, you know, making some noise with whoever I could convince to, you know, play with me in the beginning as right. I was just figuring it out. I never really played guitar before.
Did you take lessons or you just learned?
I did take a few lessons. Jeff Mesro was my first guitar teacher.
That's kind of unusual, you know. Most people say, no, taught myself.
Yeah, people lie. But, you know, I mean, I didn't take a lot of lessons, but I had some lessons with Jeff, and he would, you know, say, hey, bring in some songs you want to learn to play. I'd bring in some songs, and then he'd show me that song, and then he'd also sneak in a little, like, you know, guitar, you know, theory, and I kind of knew a little bit about music from being in band, and a little bit, but it was right. totally different. You know, I don't read music when I'm playing guitar. I can look at a piece of music and I can sort of say, oh, that's 1, 2, 3, that's a C, you know, but I can't really follow that to play.
Uh-huh.
I do it all mostly by ear, and just, you know, back then we didn't have YouTube videos to show us how to play our favorite solos.
No,
so
we did
you
not.
Had to, like, you know, listen over and over and over again, and you'd pick up, you know, the needle off the record and just keep going over one phrase and just see if you could hear it and then try and figure it out.
Right.
Or sometimes, you know, you could take a 45 and then change the speed on the turntable down to 33.
Uh-huh.
So it did change the pitch and everything on the music, but you could still maybe hear it a little. For the really fast things, you know, you could hear it a little better, maybe figure out how to play it down there, and then how to move it up. I mean, the nice thing about guitar is that if you just, you know, it's not like really transposing anything. You just move your hand up the neck, and you're in the key that you want to be in. So,
right.
Did that. I got some lessons with Jeff. I had a couple lessons with Rich Gilbert, the legendary Rich Gilbert.
The legendary, yeah.
He was fantastic. And then mostly just, you know, it was on the job learning. You know, we got the Voodoo Dolls together in '88. And
so that was the earliest band that you were in?
I would say that was the first real band I was in.
Real meaning you actually got to play out,
yeah,
and recorded some stuff. And
yeah, exactly. Did some light touring. So that was very lucky. You know, I mean, I was super lucky to my first real band. I was in a band with two of the best, you know, guys come out of Boston.
Yeah, and it got some attention. I mean, it really did.
So, you know,
well, Cam Acklin,
Cam Acklin, one of the best front men ever to rock out a Boston band, and Evan Shore, who I think, you know, for my money, is probably one of the greatest songwriters of our generation, you know. So
yeah, I saw both of them last night.
Yeah, well, I
was playing, one wasn't, but they're still in the scene.
I don't know. I had an excuse, but I couldn't go. I couldn't get out last night. I heard it was awesome. I love those bands, and I'll be there next time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would. So what was it like being in your first band? And we've established that it got some notoriety. I mean, it doesn't usually happen that way. What was your first gig? I bet you'll never forget that.
Well, we played out of town first. We went up to Geno's in Portland, Maine.
I know it.
You know, shout out to Nancy, and we played under another name, an assumed name.
What was it?
The Cyclamates.
Okay. I think I'm glad I asked. Where do you get that name?
I don't remember. But I think it was like whatever it was.
All right. So why did you do that? Why did you change the name?
Well, we wanted to just try and test it out under the radar.
Be anonymous in some ways,
exactly.
Just in case.
Yeah, no one was really sure if this was going to work.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, there were a lot of dynamics going on at the time, and no one was really sure if this was going to happen. But I knew it was going to happen.
How did that gig go?
Great.
Went great.
It went great.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so then we were like, you know, okay, let's play Boston.
Okay, so now you're the Voodoo Dolls.
Now
where did
Voodoo
that
Dolls.
Name come from?
Oh, I think Evan had it. Evan had a list of probably hundreds of names that we, you know, had gone through and looked at this and looked at that. And no one, you know, it was very hard. Everyone had an opinion. To find something that all of us could agree on was not, you know, the easiest. But that was the name that everyone was like, sure, that's okay.
It's a great name.
You know, I mean, and Evan came up with a logo, you know, with the pins, little yep. pins going in the letters. And then from there, it was just off to the races.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So Voodoo Dolls lasted how long?
6 years. Almost 6 years.
Jeez, Dave, that's so unusual for the first band you get into to have a 6-year run.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, we... Cam, Evan, and I were always in, but we went through bass players and drummers, and that was the Voodoo Dolls curse, because we'd get some momentum going, and then we'd have to, you know, start from scratch again.
Well, I think
and
that then, problem you know, still exists today. I mean, you know.
So that, you know, that was one of the reasons why the Voodoo Dolls were just kind of like perennially in the batter's box and never really able to, like, you know, hit one out of the park. Hmm.
So 6 years into that, it stopped. Why?
Oh.
Living life, starting a family, that kind of stuff?
No, not for me. I mean, I was ready. Look, I honestly thought that the Voodoo Dolls would go on forever. Mm-hmm. I thought that was it for me.
It's not a bad way to be. No.
I had no plan B. This was what I was going to do forever.
Yep.
Other guys felt differently.
Okay. That's all. Okay. So what did you do in the intervening years?
So then, so Evan and I decided we still wanted to play with each other. So we started a band called The Nines,
mm-hmm.
and found a really incredibly talented drummer whose name was Linda Corey.
Oh, cool.
And we did that for a couple of years. And then I really wasn't feeling it. And it was all on me, and I just said, you know, I don't think I want to do this anymore. You know,
More music.
Yeah, all amicable. And then Evan and Linda became Muck and the Myers.
That's what I thought you were going to say when you said Linda. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did play with King. Me and Cam got a thing going a little bit. We called it the Enablers, and that was happening a little bit around like 98. 99 maybe, and but by then I just felt like I just wanted to do something else with my life. I got married, we had, you know, a family, and
what time frame was that?
So 99.
Okay.
You know, got married in 97. Had our kid in 99, and then we decided to leave Boston, raise the family elsewhere. So I left town. And really didn't play in a band for, you know, 10 years. I just was really into, you know, being a family guy, going back to school. You know, I was working full time, going to school, raising kids. I had no time for a band. But yep. I did keep on, you know, I played with my records in the basement, yep. and just, you know, learned all the songs, all the solos that I, you know, had always wanted to learn,
yeah.
and just did that for a long, long time, 10 years. And then as the kids were a little older and kind of, I felt like, maybe, you know, and I met some guys out in Rochester, really great guys. So they'd come over once a week in the basement, and we'd just play the covers that I'd been
like. See, it always comes back, doesn't it?
You know?
If it's real, it comes back.
And then after a while doing that, that ran its course for a little while, and then I was busy with, you know, real life stuff, and but then right around maybe 2017, 2018, I started really having songs come to me, you know,
yeah.
and I started really getting into songwriting and recording demos in my basement on my laptop, and that was where the false positives came from.
Mm-hmm. And that's about the time that I met you. You came back to town, obviously, and we both happened to attend a Porch Fest. And I saw you in, I think it was Medford or Malden, and I don't know, we just met each other there on the street.
Oh, that was, yeah, the Chelsea Curve thing, right?
Yeah, on the roof. Yeah, that place, there you go. There you go.
So for you radio folks, I'm wearing my Chelsea Curve shirt very proudly.
Yep.
Very proudly.
Very proudly. All right, so thank you for the history lesson there on you. I sort of want to delve into a little bit on the sounds that kind of shaped your love of music back then. So I did a terrible thing to you, like I do a lot of people. I said, give me five songs that really influenced you or you love or whatever. And you did, and you had a little extra that you said. I got 45s. I'm like, oh, you want me to try and play 45s? Okay,
yeah.
So let's do that.
Let's do that.
Yeah. So the first one you mentioned, and right away I'm like, oh yeah, The Bags. When did you become? I mean, the song that I think this may be wrong, but it says 1989. For this song called I Know. When did you first learn of the Bags? I mean, and it's got a common friend in that band too.
Yeah. I mean, I love the Bags from the get-go.
Oh my God,
you know,
yeah.
When they came out in the mid-80s, you know, it was really different because they had, you know, they slowed it down. They were able to do this like halftime thing that no one was really doing around that time. It was amazing. And of course, all those guys are so, you know, so great.
So it's Dave Minahan.
No,
but I only said that because I saw him play most recently.
Yeah, I mean,
with
them. Maybe he's an honorary member, you know, something.
He's an honorary member.
But it's a three piece. It's Crispin Wood, Jim Janota, and John Hardy.
Yeah, so Jim Janota is still playing with them
and playing great.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I met those guys, you know, because everyone met everyone back then. You know, I think I might have seen him at Chet's for the first time, and then before I got the Voodoo Dolls together. I would sometimes do some writing for, like, you know, fanzines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a good way to, you know, pro tip, kids, you want to get on the guest list, you know, say you know, write some crap for a fanzine.
Or be a DJ, maybe.
That works, too. I didn't have the technical skills. But I did a story on the Bags for The Noise. And my idea was, we will go to, like, a bunch of pizza places, and we will decide what the best pizza in Boston is. And maybe we'll talk about music also. So,
there you go.
You know, I mean, also, honestly, you know, I wasn't really interested in rock journalism. I wanted to just meet, you know, the musicians that I thought were awesome. So that's what I did. That's the first time I got to, you know, hang out with those guys. And then later, you know, the Voodoo Dolls and the Bags played together.
Oh, man.
Coincidentally, the last Voodoo Dolls reunion 10 years ago at the Middle East also had the Bags. So there's the Bags and the Voodoo Dolls again, like 10 years ago. And that was the last time I saw them. And I'm so psyched because I just bought my two tickets for the January show. And yeah, we can go. This is not a song that showed up on their albums.
Okay.
Which are all, you know, great. But it's just one of my favorite Bags songs.
Well, I heard a rumor, I don't know, that they're actually going to record new stuff, which I would love. And I didn't see them back then, but I saw them last year when we remembered Justine Kovalt. And I was blown away, as I knew I would be. So this song, I Know, you said it wasn't on a record, so it was just something they played live and they put out a 45, obviously.
Yeah. I think this is on Stanton Park. This is the label that... our friend Aram... Is it on Stanton? Can you turn it over for me? I don't even... No, on the paper there.
Stanton Park.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah.
Stanton Park, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So this was Aram's label, and the Voodoo Dolls were on Aram's label, too. And
All right, say a little prayer, because my first time playing a 45 on this particular turntable.
Okay, I think everyone out there in the listening audience,
don't breathe, because it might go, you know.
Cross your fingers, folks.
All right, this is I Know from the Bags. If you've never heard the Bags, get ready. This is cool stuff. This is WMFO in Medford. Oh, yeah. 10:21 in the morning. It's WMFO Medford. I'm Mike. He's Dave.
Hey.
That was the Bags. I mean, like I said, if you never heard them before,
right?
That's what they are. I mean, they're just a great rock and roll, gritty band.
But with great songs.
Great
really
songs.
Great songs.
And great production for back then. And the song is really put together well. What do you... Okay.
No, for back then, I thought that was funny.
Well, I mean, you know? Well, technology's changed a lot.
It has.
And it's funny how whatever's old is new again. I mean, you know, a lot of the kids these days love the lo-fi.
A broken clock, right twice a day.
Yes, it is.
Story of my life.
All right, so the next one that you want to play is somebody that I do not know.
Yeah.
An artist named Kimberly Rue.
Okay, so here's a little background on this. So Kimberly Rue was a guitarist in the Soft Boys. The Soft Boys were an English band. Robin Hitchcock, you've probably heard of Robin Hitchcock. That was his band. And they were pretty incredible, you know, a groundbreaking band. After that ended, before Kimberly Rue ended up walking on Sunshine with Katrina and the Waves.
Oh, really?
He went to he went down south and recorded an album with a bunch of the REM guys and some of the Let's Active guys like Mitch Easter. And this single is off of that album, and it's just it's a really beautiful song. And I do this song when I do solo acoustic sets. Like I've been up at the Village Social Club in Brookline Village,
yeah.
And sometimes I get
nice venue,
you know,
huh?
Yeah, and sometimes I get to mess around at the Mess Around, and so this is a song that's one of my favorites, and I'll do acoustically whenever I get a chance.
All right, this one's called Fishing. All right, it's WMFO. All right, so we've gone fishing and we're not catching the right thing. See what I did there?
That's a great song too.
So I turn it over is what I do.
Yeah. So the 45 kids. This is ancient technology back from the day where you actually had one song on each side of a 7-inch vinyl disc.
All right, so we're gonna try this again. This one should be fishing, huh?
Yeah.
All right, stuff you on my phone in Medford. Crackle, crackle.
That's it.
All right.
Nothing but I love you.
Oh yeah, it's WMFO in Medford. That was the second song that Dave picked to sort of give us an audio look at what he listened to form his taste in music. A beautiful song, Kimberly Rue and Fishing.
Ain't that pretty?
And you heard as we're like tapping on the, it skips.
I know, you can't get too excited in here. You'll skip the
record. I know. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to cue this up as we're talking. And I know I'm off mic, but that's okay.
That's okay.
Talk about the next one here by the
Damned. So, I mean, I love The Damned. You know, picking a favorite song by The Damned is impossible. And this one just has, like, I don't know, there's something, just kind of something special about it, I think.
So my little database here says it was 2005 that this album Strawberries came out. Does that sound right?
That does not sound
right. Yeah, it lies to me all the time.
Yeah, no,
all right, so it's the record Strawberries. It's a song called Stranger on the Town. How do you go ahead and pick that song? I mean, like you said, it's so hard to do.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I don't know. It was the one that I thought, I mean, I'm looking at my records. I'm like, oh, I've changed this a million times on Mike. He's going to get pissed at me. But I just,
I don't
like,
get
you
pissed.
Know.
I get even. yeah, you laugh.
It was just a song that I thought, hey, let's play it, you know. And you know, and I also said, hey, you know what? I'm not picking my five favorite songs. I'm picking five of my favorite songs. So
yes,
it's okay.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay.
So that's okay.
Because you can't pick. Yeah, I mean, you have to. It has to be a subset of.
Yeah, and it changes moment to moment, right?
All right. So before I spin this one, so what can you tell us about The Damned?
Wow. So the Damned were, you know, right there in the beginning of the London punk thing. They were the first band ever to release vinyl in England. Mm-hmm. They beat the Sex Pistols by, you know, weeks or months. They got kicked off their first tour with the Sex Pistols. They were
nice.
Wild. I mean, the story about them for the first time playing at CBGB's, people were just like, what? I mean, they were, you know, right in the punk thing in the beginning, and then they kept going. They pretty much invented goth rock. Not my thing, but I mean, that's what they did. And then, you know, here they are, you know, almost 40 years later, still making really great music. They got a new record out that sounds tremendous. Captain Sensible is one of my favorite guitar players. Dave Vanian is, you know, the prototypical punk crooner, and they just write great songs.
And about what year would you say this was?
I'm thinking like 86, maybe.
Okay.
Something like that. I'm sure that there are damned scholars out there that are going to, you know better than me, but I've got this off Strawberries and Strawberries for Pigs, and it says 86 on it, so that's what
there
I'm going
There
you
go. Let's go with 1986. This is The Damned from Strawberries and Stranger on the Town at WMFO.
Thank you.
WMFO, Stranger on the Town by The Damned. You know, Dave, that sort of surprised me because I don't know that song. I thought it was going to be a little bit more, I don't know, chaotic.
Yeah,
and it was a really nice song, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, they got that, too. More, you know, more where that came from.
I'm sure.
You know, and the other thing I'll just, you know, point out is the tremendous organ sound on that tune.
Yeah.
And I love putting, you know, keys and organs, you know, on songs. So you'll hear some organ on the first version of the False Positives that, you know, when I was out in Rochester, where I had a great guy named Don Blair do keys for my songs. And I love that sound. I love the you know, the texture of it with the guitars.
When you record and add like layers to a song like that, do you guys like to do it live, or do you do it later in post and add them on?
Oh yeah, it's all overdubs later on.
All right.
Yeah.
Have you ever wanted to, or have you recorded stuff live?
I mean, I would love to. In fact, I think that, you know, once you know, we get this new version of the Voodoo Doll, new version of the False Positives.
Uh-huh.
You know, kind of more solidified. We'd love to come up here to MFO and play live here.
Remember,
you know, on the town. So
yeah, we talked about you doing live day too.
Yeah, and we'll do live day for sure. So yeah. That could be great.
Very exciting.
Right on.
Also very exciting. This is besides the bags. I know Nick Lowe very well. I have him over for dinner all the time.
Sure.
Didn't mean it like that. You know what I meant. But this great album, Pure Pop for Now People, 1976. Is the next one that you picked a song from. I don't know what you can say about this. It just...
Sure. So, you know, the album has a kind of interesting history because it was released in the U.S. with that title, but in the U.K., where Nick is from, it was The Jesus of Cool.
That's what I saw in the database. Yeah. And I'm like, what are you doing?
But the American record company, for some reason, felt that, you know, trying to sell The Jesus of Cool in the Kmarts down south might cause a problem.
Oh, for God's sakes.
They renamed the record, but this song is another song that I'll sometimes do when I'm doing solo acoustic. It's just one of my favorite tunes. It's beautiful. I think you're gonna love it.
It is a great song, great album. Nick Lowe. I mean, what can you say? All right, this is Tonight from that album. I'll say it's from Pure Pop for Now People because here we are in America. It's Nick Lowe at WMFO.
What a fabulous night. Look at the moon and stars all shining bright. It's a wonderful night. All right. Oh, it's so heavenly. I could almost believe it was made especially. There's a place that I know, a secret place where I sometimes go. If you wanna know where, we'll go there. So don't hesitate, 'cause although we're still
Oh, it's just gorgeous.
So pretty.
There's
it's so pretty.
Yeah. Nick Lowe from Pure Pop for Now People, they say here in the United States. Tonight, what a gorgeous little song that is.
Right?
Yeah. All right, so we got time for one more. It's going to be by, I'm so happy that you picked Nick Lowe and Dave Edmonds from the great record Twang, and I'm Going to Start Living Again.
Yeah, so this is just another song that I like to do solo acoustic when I'm doing those shows. And, you know, it kind of also spoke to me as I came back into playing music again after my hiatus.
All right, well, I think I queued that up. We're going to find out. So this is from that great record Twang, and this is Dave Edmonds, and I'm Going to Start Living Again. Dave's fifth and final song that he picked that are among his favorites at WMFO. Oh, I should turn up the...
This fifth floor prism in Wetton did something else. I've been sick of everything for so long that now I'm even sick of myself. I'm gonna call up some old friends I used to know, although they never come around much now. But I can't blame them. Listen to me talk about you for hours. I'm gonna start living again if it kills me, if it's the very last thing I do. I'm gonna make a splash in that social world and purge myself of you. Off my little black broken cross Sonya, 'cause she was always good for a smile. But when I whispered sweet nothings into her phone, they meant sweet nothing to her. Then I tried Sally and Sue with nothing better to do, but they were turning tricks out at Disney World. In desperation
.45 in the morning here at WMFO. Beautiful song, Dave Edmonds, the great Dave Edmonds. I'm going to start living again if it kills me. You know, Dave, I thank you for picking those five songs. It has given me an entirely different look at what I thought your musical taste would be. I mean,
yeah, I know, because the truth of it is that my favorite bands, I didn't bring any records. You know, I love the Kinks, I love the MC5.
Right, that's what I expected.
I love the Flamin' Groovies, I love Velvet Underground, but
yep,
you know, it's not, listen,
these are
kids,
the ones you thought of, which is great.
This is, it's not so easy to pick five favorite songs.
No, it's not.
And
no, it's not.
I you know, I thought, hey, I'll just, you know, whatever. These are five of my favorite songs, not necessarily my five favorite songs.
Gotcha. All right, so we talked about the Voodoo Dolls. Let's sneak one in here, a little two-minute song.
We have time? We have time.
Yeah, a little 2-minute song. This is a song you picked called This Town Makes Me Feel So Lonely. Let me play this.
Sure.
Anything you want to say about it before I do?
Yeah, just that this was like kind of like the song that I think most people identify the Voodoo Dolls with.
All right, Boston's own Voodoo Dolls right here at WMFO. WMFO, Voodoo Dolls, This Town Makes Me Feel So Lonely. What do you think of when you hear that from way back then?
Oh, geez, I just think, you know, how lucky was I?
Love it. Love it. Okay, so let's, in the last couple minutes we have, let's concentrate on the False Positives, your latest band project that you're doing. This is not the first song that I heard by you guys, but the one that I picked that I just sort of found it. I thought, nobody knows about this. This is a great song, and I used to play it all the time. It's called The Real You. It's a real, like, power poppy song. It's great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is one of the songs I just wrote in my basement. And, you know, I was just getting back into writing songs, and came to me.
Okay, and the other two we're going to play, Eyes Wide Open, Do It Wrong All Over. Now, I know Do It Wrong All Over Again very well, but I don't know Eyes Wide Open too well. Were those anything particular about those two songs? That
Eyes Wide Open was one of the very first songs I tracked by myself in the basement, and I had very lucky to get drums contributed by Bruce Pierce, who was the last Voodoo Dolls drummer. So it's really early, and you know, I mean, honestly, you know, I'm not super psyched about the vocal that I did, you know, because I'm, you know, it's in process. But to me, it's about the song, so I'm willing to, you know. The song is what's important to me, and not, you know, whether or not, you know, my vocals suck or not.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's spin these three songs by the False Positives. You guys out there, you're gonna love this. I'm gonna start with The Real You, False Positives at WMFO.
But that don't give me what I want.
That was Dave Harrison and the False Positives. We heard The Real You, Do It Wrong All Over Again. Don't try to talk fast if you're me, because it doesn't work. Two great songs. And before I play your latest single, Long Distance Romance, which is friggin' awesome, tell me about some gigs you're playing.
Yeah, so our first gig with a new lineup, I got a new drummer I'm really excited about. Shout out to Adam Peabody. With me, Pete Cassani, Colby and Cucci, we are playing the Speed Fossil record release party September 22nd, 5 p.m.,
Tavern at the End of the World in Charlestown. It's going to be fantastic. Stop Calling Me Frank. The Cold Expectations. You know, it's going to be tremendous.
Great lineup.
And that's going to be great. And the Speed Fossil, of course, amazing.
Phenomenal. Yep.
So real psyched about that. And then the week after that, we'll be playing up in Lowell at the Worthen. Then October 10th, we're playing at the Burren. And then we are taking a little break until December 1. So, we got a handful of gigs, and then we'll see what happens in the spring.
Very exciting. All right. Well, thank you for coming, and thank you for telling us all about
you. And just one last thing. I say, anyone who's interested in those songs and in the demos and whatever, thefalsepositives.bandcamp.com. You don't have to wait for Bandcamp Friday to come out and, get some stuff.
It's a great place to buy stuff. It goes, especially at Bandcamp Friday, it goes right to the artist.
And Mike, I just want to say thank you so much for having me down to do this. It's been a lot of fun digging through my records and stuff.
Yeah, it was good, huh?
And, we've been talking about this for months and months. And
I know.
Maybe even more. So just thanks for being patient with me and finally getting me down here. I really appreciate it. And to all of MFO.
And we'll do it again. You're very welcome. Okay, I'm going to play Long Distance Romance, and then we'll be back with Sue Edelman, who's here for something about the women. WMFO.
Tell me.